Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Lord Acton's words ring true in today's reading. Power tends to corrupt, and absolute power corrupts absolutely. Can power be bridled? Rosabeth Cantor, who wrote the article Power Failure in Management Circuits, stated, "Power is America's last dirty word. People who have it deny it. People who want it do not want to appear to hunger for it. And people who engage in its machinations do so secretly." Politics and power occurred in the days of Israel and Judah. It has existed throughout the centuries, and it exists to this very day in the halls of government, the halls of business, and yes, even the church. In fact, now even the media is taking sides on how President Obama is exercising his power early in his presidency. The nation is watching to see how his financial stimulus bill will be enacted since its acceptance by Congress. No one will deny that power is influential and moving. But is it always beneficial? If power is left unbridled and is boundaryless, it is absolutely corrupt and damaging. Maybe that's why Abraham Lincoln said, "Nearly all men can stand adversity, but if you want to test a man's character, give him power." King David's character was tested when pride and covetousness caused him to break the bonds of marriage and to commit adultery with Bathsheba and to kill her husband Uriah. Similarly, King Uzziah in today's text, we see how pride got him in trouble as well. Uzziah broke the religious and priestly boundaries which were only given to the sons of Aaron. And when the high priest Azariah and the other 80 priests discovered Uzziah with the censer in hand near the altar, they were shocked and they confronted him. Yet Uzziah's reaction is one of anger and rage. And as a result, he was struck by the Lord with leprosy. Similar to the way Miriam was struck with leprosy for turning against Moses as the leader of God's people. When people tell you it is not as important how you begin as how you finish, it really is quite true. Before King Uzziah had committed this act, he had exerted power in such positive and influential ways for nearly 50 years. While the northern kingdom lacked sound leadership, being lost in a nearly yearly swing of new kings, Judah was one that remained stable and strong. The kingdom actually expanded. Judah was economically strong and militarily solid. But is that what we remember today as we read this text? What Uzziah sought was to be both king and priest. He prematurely sought God's immediate presence. And yet now, ironically, that presence is stripped from him as he has left the temple, his home, and his throne in shame. He was separated because he was ceremonially unclean. Later in death, he was buried near the kings, but not with them. When instances similar to this exist or occur in our church today. It does not just victimize the people who do it, but it destroys the quality of future ministry in that place. People trust the ministry less. And then further, it gives the outside community all the more reasons why they can avoid the church. As you seek to serve the Lord, how would you like to be remembered? The way you begin your ministry or service, or the way you finish? In Hebrews chapter 11 is recorded the Bible's Hall of Fame, including many faithful saints who have gone before them. And none of them were perfect. Abraham lied. He lied to kings about his wife, Sarah. Moses lost patience with God's people. Samson weakened under the flesh, as did David. Yet all of them, by the grace of God, were forgiven and redeemed, depending on his blessing and strength to guide them. When Dr. Harold Bowles was teaching, a sainted CTS professor, he was once reflecting on some of these saints in a class, and I can still remember him pointing his finger and saying, "As you enter service in the church, just remember that you too go only by the grace of God as well." The boundary lines are numerous today in service to the church. In fact, the legal restrictions are more tight on church vocations than they ever have been. As a field worker, an intern, a vicar, a pastor, a deaconess in the church is permitting you the opportunity to powerfully influence the lives of God's people. Further, the seminary sends you out, trusting you and asking God's blessings as you serve that parish or you serve that entity. When God lends you that type of trust, how will you be a steward of it? We don't know. But one thing we do know is that there is an antidote to prideful power. In Matthew 20, after John and James and John's mother petitioned for positions of authority and power for her two sons, Jesus said, "Whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant. And whoever wants to be first must be your slave. Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many." Power, influence, in terms of our Lord, is turned upside down. It's not about notoriety, recognition, or pride. It's about being nothing but a servant. Being nothing did not make Jesus less powerful. He was God's Son, equal to the Father in every way. But he did not presumptuously assume and demand that people follow him. Instead, he emptied himself for us, led by a life of love, service, and sacrifice, a life of sacrifice which ended at the cross. And when he died, you and I died too. Our baptismal waters plunge us into that death. We drown the old man, as Luther states, and die to ourselves, as St. Paul says. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. The problem we battle every day is the big me. It always gets in the way. Tomorrow, we'll have opportunity to reflect on two more leprosy accounts, that of Naaman of Damascus and that of the man healed by Jesus. And we are mindful of the separation which results from leprosy. But we are also mindful that God does not separate us from Him because of the leprosy of our sin. God does not separate us from Him forever. He dies for us, washes us, and feeds us. And through His precious body and blood, our powerful pride is struck down, that a new person is raised up to serve Him in His kingdom. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.